Well, welcome to After Hours. It's me, Rick Kogan, back after missing last week for a nasty reason. Nasty reason out of town. This is going to be a very good hour, though, because I have two distinguished writers on back-to-back. Chris Chandler had a great career as a journalist, both at the City News Bureau, at the Sun-Times, and then for a few years at Channel 2. He was a co-founder and associate editor of the Chicago Journalism Review. He was the press secretary during Harold Washington's primary campaign in 1983. And if you are sick of politics as it's being displayed during this current mayoral to-do, you owe it to yourself to get a copy of his book, Harold Washington and the Civil Rights Legacy. It is written by Chris, who had a front row seat to this whole affair, and it is... Chris, welcome to the show, first of all. How are you?
Hey, Rick. Good to talk to you.
The book is riveting. You know, I lived through this, but not in the kind of intimate level that you did. And one of the revelations, I just want to sort of be topical about it, is the part that Jesus Chuy Garcia played in this whole thing. I did not remember that he was one of the eulogists at Harold Washington's funeral. He was an important guy for Harold, wasn't he?
Absolutely, he was. Closer than any other alderman.
Yeah, why was that? There was an affinity between the two of them.
I think there's a natural affinity. You know, to a certain extent, Harold was a nationalist in the sense that he was, you know, proud of his heritage and wanted to strengthen the black community. And Chuy is very much out of that same mold.
Do you think, and I want to get to the book soon, but I can't help but talk about this current race. Do you think that Chuy Garcia that is being displayed through commercials and debates is the real charismatic Chuy Garcia that you know?
It hasn't been much of that,
yeah,
until the second debate.
Right.
I thought that he did very well in that debate. I thought he won it hands down. And I think I'm looking forward to the debate Tuesday night.
You don't think, I mean, you were a political observer from way back. And there has never been anything like the Harold Washington movement, certainly in my lifetime in Chicago. I'm not making too much of that, am I?
No, you're not. No, absolutely. My lifetime, too.
One of the interesting, there's so many revelations in your book, frankly, Harold Washington and the Civil Rights Legacy. One of them, and I was reminded of the famous line when Harold won the ugly little primary with 36% of the vote to 34 for Byrne and 30 for Daley, is everybody remembers the, you want Harold, you got him.
Yeah.
But you quote from his acceptance speech where he said, and I was so moved by this, he was trying to allay, you write, the fears of white voters, and he said, our concern is to heal. I want to reach out my hand in friendship to every living soul in the city. I'm terribly moved by that, especially in light of the, you know, sort of controversial and mean-spirited kind of attack ads here. He did do that, did he not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I think that was a brilliant speech, and it was a night that everybody will always remember out there in the Grand Ballroom at the end of Navy Pier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a magnificent event.
How did you, Chris, and it's in the book, and you people, you've got, you know, a week and a couple days before the election, you owe it to yourselves to read Harold Washington and the Civil Rights Legacy, because on many levels, it is inspiring, and it might even make you decide to vote for one of these two gentlemen running for the race.
Yeah, which one?
Yeah. Well, I know who I'm voting for, and I'm pretty sure I know who you're voting for.
Voting for Chuy, if anybody.
Yeah, of course, of course. Well, just the when you quote from in here, I'm telling you, when you quote from his eulogy, it that too is inspiring in here. You can read a portion of it in the book, in Chris Chandler's new book, Harold Washington, the Civil Rights Legacy. How did you get involved with Harold in the first place, Chris?
Well, it really was an accident. Dick Simpson called me and asked me if I would handle the announcement press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was freelancing, so I handled the announcement press conference. And Harold liked the job I did, so he kept me on.
Your first meeting with him, how well did you know him without having met him?
I had actually met him back in 69, slightly.
Mm-hmm.
We were both at the same party kind of thing. And I had interviewed him when I was at Channel 2 for a piece Bill Curtis was doing on the election.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was running for mayor back then. But I didn't know him. No, I'd never, actually talked to him, had a conversation with him. Until that first conversation I record when he explored my politics.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Well, and you both, there was a bonding over your mutual admiration of Bobby Kennedy, wasn't there?
Yes, although my admiration for Bobby Kennedy was larger than his.
Mm.
Who was it? He names it when I pressed him for his political hero, he named, it's on the tip of my tongue.
I'm looking through the book right now.
Paul Robeson.
Right. Well, I think people forget what a worldly and well-read guy that Harold was, too. When you were the press secretary during that first primary run, which I remember as being ugly, but perhaps not as ugly as the general election against Bernie Ebden.
No, I didn't think that. I didn't think the primary was very ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
General election was terrible. I mean, it was the worst anybody's seen in this century.
Well, it was a ton of. I mean, it was basically. The whole campaign, Bernie Ebden, before it's too late, is just about as incendiary as you did not, being part of the operation, you could not, or maybe I'm wrong, were you at all worried about Ebden and that sort of backlash vote?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, with a week to go, we were behind, I think.
Mm.
And it was only the last surge that allowed us to win that election.
Well, you bring up in chapter 4, which is the general election, you bring up Royko and his sort of part that he played in this whole thing, which was not insubstantial, was it?
Absolutely. He played a really important role for us, and especially when times were toughest.
Yeah.
Like the day after Harold won the primary, I've got his column about, don't worry, Harold doesn't want to
marry your sister. Yeah, you quote in here, so I told him, and Mike wrote, he began the story, so I told Uncle Chester, don't worry, Harold Washington doesn't want to marry your sister. I vividly remember those columns, and he was preaching to the same crowd and part of the city from which he came. I think, don't you think?
Absolutely. Northwest Side.
Yeah. And that's why I think it was so powerful. Mike knew this city. During the Ebden thing, there were, and I here it is in the book, I remembered it too, that Harold was accused of being a child molester. It was about as filthy a race as I think I've ever seen in this.
Oh, absolutely. And it was that damn Republican strategist, Deardorff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He'd done dirty stuff in Cleveland before, but no, he was the lowest of the low.
Chris, was it, and I'm trying to characterize how you might have felt in sort of digging through your memories. Was this, the book's incredibly well written, was it a joyful thing for you to do, to remember and catalog all this stuff?
Yes. First and foremost, it was because I felt guilty the last thing I'd written about Harold was critical of him.
Yeah, yeah.
And just months it was published just months before he died.
Right.
So
right.
I to this day I feel guilty about that. And I had to absolve myself somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you did an extraordinary job, because I think that you make a case that Harold, and a lot of people say, well, he was a failure, and you do a wonderful, wonderful job with Council Wars, which I'm sure people remember is that, you know, vitriolic, Verdoliak, Burke craziness. Let me ask you, you have a question in here. That in the book, and you address the whole matter of Harold's legacy. And I think a lot of people don't give Harold a lot of credit for a legacy because he was only in office for such a short time. But you make a wonderful case, Chris Chandler, in your new book, Harold Washington, The Civil Rights Legacy, that there is a tremendous Harold Washington legacy if people care to look, right?
Absolutely. I thought that, you know, the three main ones were his invention of the set-asides for 25% of city contracts to go to the minority communities. That was a big one, and still being done today, copied around the country. And then there was his recognition of that he let city workers become unionized.
Mm-hmm.
And statewide public workers become unionized. And the third one, another big one, was his approach to immigration. He directed the police department to not just automatically turn over people to the immigration authorities.
Yeah, you do write in here that Harold Washington had a profound effect on the city of Chicago. And if there's any guilt you feel about having written that editorials such a long time ago, you have certainly made it up to him, because you also mentioned, you know, not only Chewy, but also as one of his proteges, but the other people who, you know, the opponents have not fared so well. Fred Rohde, Bill Henry, Bill Beavers, even Verdoliak did 10 months in jail. And you do cite the great exception to that rule being Ed Burke. For anybody, and I'm telling you, for anybody who is interested in Chicago politics and has any sense of history, if you read Chris Chandler's book, Harold Washington, The Civil Rights Legacy, before next Tuesday's election, it will compel you to vote. It will compel you, those of you of a certain age, will be reminded of what a glorious thing some aspects of politics can be. You're voting for Chewy. I don't doubt that for a second. What do you think, before I let you go, Chris, I got to get your take on Rahm, if it's something you can say on the air.
Well, I think my sentiments were expressed by somebody at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And when somebody yelled out, "Go back to Wilmette."
That's perfect. Chris, congratulations. This is a wonderful book. You can find it wherever books are sold, if they're sold in stores anymore, but also online. Christopher Chandler, C-H-A-N-D-L-E-R, is the author. The book is Harold Washington and the Civil Rights Legacy. It is
Amazon Books.
Yeah. And it's a rollicking and moving story. It's got a great picture, on the cover, too. Chris, it's great to talk to you. I hope you're feeling well.
Well, I'm feeling fine.
Good.
Thanks a lot for calling, Rick.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I was really, you know, it's something when you pick up a book and say, oh, boy, Harold Washington, I lived through that. I was pretty good buddies with Alton Miller, who took your place as press secretary. And I thought, well, I've heard all this before, but you had a bird's eye view, and you were always, to my mind, a terrific writer, and you write terrifically in this book. It's very vivid. And parts of it, to me, were terribly moving, too. Terribly moving. So congratulations to you, Chris. It's hard to write a book, I'll tell you.
Well, I really appreciate that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Take care of yourself, will you please?
Yeah, you too.
Okay, thanks.